Preparing for what I was going to be doing, I just kept coming to one particular thing that I wanted to talk about, and it's not the beginning, or what I would consider the beginning. And so tonight, the title of my message is The Nitty-Gritty of Healing. So I just thought we'd get down to the nitty-gritty here at the beginning, and then we can, you know, maybe get into some other stuff later. I don't know if we will or not. But tonight we're going to deal with what I consider to be the nitty-gritty of healing. Now, you know, I could teach on healing in a number of different ways. And, you know, I could give you the seven steps. I could give you all these various things. But we're not going to do that. The first thing that I wanted to tell you tonight, and I'm just kind of assuming that you've at least heard some teaching on healing. If you've been through Abundant Life, you've heard a teaching called Healing Belongs to You. And if you've never heard that, I encourage you to come to Abundant Life. It'll start the first Sunday in February at 10:20. Or you can go in the Resource Center and get that particular lesson, that particular CD called Healing Belongs to You. And that's really the foundation. You have to know healing belongs to you. But I just want to show you just a little bit about that. This is not the nitty-gritty, but go over to Psalm 103. Just want to read a couple of verses here. Because if you don't know that healing belongs to you, the rest of it is pretty irrelevant. But healing does belong to you. I know that's one of those subjects that's misunderstood. In the body of Christ, there's a lot of controversy. Everything from God makes you sick, which is a complete and total lie because God doesn't make you sick. But I'm not going to teach on that tonight. But you need to know healing belongs to you. And it's part of what we call around here. The Bible doesn't use this term, but I'll show you where we get this. It's part of what we call your salvation package. Because salvation means more than you just get to go to heaven when you die. Salvation is really everything that belongs to you in Christ. And it includes healing. And if you're in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And, you know, we talk about how if you go to work for a company, you have a benefit package. And these are some of the benefits in your benefit package that the Lord has provided. And here it is, the first one, who forgives all your iniquities. Well, we understand that we're forgiven. That's part of what we understand in salvation is God forgives us. But then the very next thing that he says is who heals all your diseases. That's part of your benefits in Christ Jesus. That's part of the salvation package that Jesus provided for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. Healing all your diseases. And then I'll just keep on reading. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, that's some good stuff right there. And that's all provided for you in your salvation package. Now, if you will, turn over to Isaiah 53. I want to read a couple of other verses here. This is the foundation of why healing belongs to you. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah was a prophet under the Old Covenant, and Isaiah was a seer. Under the Old Covenant, a prophet was a seer, and they would have vision, sometimes an open-eye vision. They would see things. They would have an understanding of what's going on about something that is ahead and see something. And Isaiah, the prophet, would see, and he saw here what was going to happen thousands of years later through Jesus, what was going to happen that Jesus was going to bring into being. And that's what he's talking about here in Isaiah 53. And verse 4, he's looking at supernaturally. He's not seeing this in front of his eyes, and it's not something that's happened in the past. But he's looking forward to what Jesus is going to do for us as he goes to Calvary and is punished for our sins. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now some people say when it talks about here, this healing is talking about a spiritual healing. But it can't be talking about a spiritual healing. Because if you read the New Testament, you see we're not healed spiritually. A healing would be, I was looking today what the meaning of healing is. A healing is a mending. It's a fixing of something that's broken. And we weren't mended spiritually. We were born again. We were reborn spiritually. We're not the same people we used to be. We're not just mended up spiritually. But we are mended up. There is a mending available to us, and it's for these bodies. Because these bodies do need mending. Because we're actually going to get a new body. We're going to get a new recreated body. That's going to be great. Woo! going to be a glorious day. But meanwhile, these in the meanwhile need to be fixed up from time to time. And the older you get, it seems the more regularly they may need to be fixed. But there is a mending or a repair or fixing available to us in Christ. By his stripes we are healed. And really, if you understand even verse 4, if you have a center column reference and you refer to that, being that it's a reference, you might refer to it. And it tells you literally when the word grief was translated, it should have been translated, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. That's in the Hebrew, the way it reads. Surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. And it's referring to physical healing. So on the basis of this and a whole lot of other stuff that we're not going to get into tonight, healing belongs to you. Now, healing belongs to you as part of the salvation package, but just like salvation has been provided, you realize tonight that salvation is available to every person on planet Earth. Every man, every woman, every child, every person on planet Earth, salvation is available to them. But every person isn't saved. Salvation is available to them, but until they reach out and take hold of salvation for themselves, right, and receive it is the word the Bible uses, and they receive it, then the salvation isn't doing any good for them. It's available, but they're not experiencing it until they receive it. Well, in that same way, healing is available, but it must be received. Salvation doesn't automatically come because you woke up one morning and you know, sat up in your bed and, I'm saved. Like some magic thing happened, like God waved a wand and you were magically saved. Well, you were born again because you made a decision to receive salvation. In that same way, we make a decision to receive healing. And it's something that we actively do. It's something that we take hold of. And there's a process that's involved in it. We call that process, the Bible word for that process is faith. We are saved. How are we saved? By faith. We're saved by faith. And what is involved in being saved? Well, Romans tells us what's involved in being saved. We believe something. We believe in our hearts. The resurrection of Jesus is the main thing we believe. And then we're willing to confess him or act on what we believe and do something with what we believe. And that what Romans instructs us to do is to act by saying or agreeing with Jesus being our Lord. So we say we agree with Jesus as our Lord. We receive Jesus as our Lord. So we believe something and then we act on what we believe by saying we agree with what the word says that Jesus is Lord. And we're saved. Well, that's really the way that faith works in every area. If you're going to receive from God anything, you're going to receive by faith. You're going to believe it in your heart. And then you're going to act and say something. You're going to act in accordance with it. So that's how you receive. Now, faith is not believing God that you're going to be healed. Now, here's where we get down to the first part of the nitty-gritty about faith. So I said all that because healing belongs to you. Now, here's the nitty-gritty of it. Here's where I see people getting off and not receiving from God what belongs to them. Faith is not believing you're going to be healed. And so often I find Christians that are believing God that they're going to be healed. And they think that they're going to be healed and they hope they're going to be healed. And that in their mind is how to receive from God. You don't receive from God by believing you're going to be healed. That's not the way that you receive from God, that I'm going to be healed. And let me say it this way. Faith is not believing you're going to be healed any more than faith is believing you're going to be saved. How many of you here tonight believe you're going to be saved? No. You're saved. You believe you have been saved. Isn't that right? Are you sitting here thinking tonight, well, I believe I'm going to be saved? No, you believe you are saved. In fact, if I ask you to come up and give your testimony, some of you would say, well, I was saved, so-and-so, so-and-so. You'd say, Matt would say, I was saved in August of 1982. You know, some of you know, I was saved, so, and you could give a date. Others of us can't give a date necessarily, but we know I was saved as a child. And we refer to it as something that happened back then. Now, we're still benefiting from it now, for sure. And one day we're going to really, you know, benefit from it in a great way, because we're going to leave these bodies and step over into eternity. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah, sweet by and by. It's going to be glorious, right? But in the meanwhile, we're still saved. We were saved. We are saved. You understand? And we're not, but we're not going to be saved. Now, you have to understand, since healing is part of the salvation package, since healing comes through salvation, that's why it belongs to us, is because of salvation. It works the same way, and you can use the same terms. So for you to sit here and say, well, I believe, Pastor Susie, I'm going to be saved, in my mind, immediately, I would be thinking, we need to talk to that person, and we need to help that person understand. And we've met people through doing outreaches and in other venues. I've talked to people, you know, more than once, more than twice, several times, people that are telling me, well, I believe I'm going to be saved. Well, that person, they need to take the step of being saved, receiving Jesus, being saved, so that they can say, I am saved. Right? And so one day they can get up and give their testimony and say, I was saved. Okay. You see that? Now, let's take that same line of thinking over here to healing. If somebody says to you, or you are saying, I believe I'm going to be healed, you're in that same predicament that a person who says, I'm going to be saved is in. You're not yet healed. There's a problem. There's a disconnect. Somehow or another, you're not in the right position you should be in. And it's the same way with anything you want to receive from God. Tonight I'm talking particularly about healing, but this is really a faith lesson about anything you want to receive from God. If you don't already have it, then you're not in faith. And you're not receiving it by faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't, in your estimation, well, let me just ask you like this. How many of you don't know tonight if you're married or not? Is there anybody here who's unclear about that? I mean, I know, actually, that's dangerous to ask in a crowd like this. Because I know some of you, and it's kind of unclear. But, well, what do you mean? Do you mean legally, or do you mean, you know? Okay, let me just say this. According to the laws of the state of Georgia, or whatever other state you might have been in at that time, are you married? There's a time you're married, and there's a time that you're not. And there's an appointment, you understand? And in between those, between the time you are and the time you're not, you're married. Or you know what I'm saying. Anyway, you're either married or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You know, it's really interesting how many times you talk to people and they're really unclear about their salvation. They're in church. They're in church, or maybe they've been in church, but they're kind of really unclear. It's all sort of fuzzy. And part of, you know, one way that you can be a really good life giver is you can help people just to settle the fact that they're saved. Being saved is like being married. You enter into a relationship. And it's not something one day you are and the next day you're not, and one day you are and then we don't ever know. No, you're saved. Well, do you know what? Healing is the same way. You're either healed or you're not. Now, don't anybody, you know, give me any big testimonies right here. But for those of you who've been married, was there ever a time, or maybe you're still married, has there ever been a time in your married life where you didn't feel like you were married? Ever had that? Yeah. You ever had a time where you didn't feel like you were married? See, you being married isn't based on what you feel like. You're either married or you're not. Because marriage is actually a legal situation. It's actually a legal condition. It's something that's governed by laws, something that, you know, you're either legally married or you're not. Well, I'll say it this way. You're either legally saved or you're not. Legal in the terms of the Bible, the laws of the Bible. You're either legally healed or you're not. Your feelings have nothing to do with whether you're healed or not. And see, this is the part where a lot of people, they understand. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a day you didn't feel saved? Hopefully not today, but have you ever had a day you didn't feel saved? And sometimes people don't. That's one thing you have to work with people, because sometimes people think, you know, sometimes people come to church And they'll answer, you know, they'll come up and they'll be saved, or somebody will pray with them and they'll get saved. And the next thing we know, they're coming up to the, every time Pastor Matt gives an opportunity to get saved, they come up here to get saved. Like, and somebody has to talk to them and explain to them, you don't, just because you don't feel like you did the other day doesn't mean you're not saved. I mean, it's, all of us, I think, grew to the point where we realized, wait a minute, we're saved, whether we just had a big knockdown, drag-out fight with somebody, or whether we, you know, we had a tempting thought from the enemy or not, or if I just felt like I was in a funk or whatever. None of that had anything to do with whether I was saved or not. Isn't that true? Well, healing is the same way. Your healing isn't based on what you feel like. It's not based on what circumstances say. It's not based on, you know, the situation that is at hand, any more than you feeling saved has to do with your, whether you're saved or not, or you feeling married has to do with if you're married or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? But see, this is not what we think. As Christians, I'm just telling you, people that believe in healing even, this is not, they, everybody checks to see if they're healed. Let me check and see if I'm healed. And they, and whether I'm healed or not has to do with the circumstances. It has to do with the symptoms. It has to do with how I feel. Let me look and see. Are you healed? Well, you know, I don't know. I was healed, but now this week I'm not. Well, either you're healed or you're not. Now, you have to understand this. To walk in healing, this is some of the nitty-gritty things, you know. Again, these are some of the nitty-gritty. You got to understand that you're healed. And you know, you could have like a big growth sticking out the side of your head. But that has nothing to do with whether you're healed or not. Now, being healed will take care of the growth. But you don't wait till the growth falls off to say, oh, okay, now I'm healed. And see, people may have this problem when it comes to salvation because they want to get saved after they feel like they're saved. They want to wait till one day. I've had people say, well, I'm going to get myself cleaned up and I'm going to do all this. People say, I'm just not ready now. And what they're saying is, I don't feel like I'm in a position, you know, I don't have the feelings I should have of a saved person, so therefore I can't be saved. And that's the same thing people have about healing, you know. When I feel better, then I'll say I'm healed. Whether you're healed or not has nothing to do with how you're feeling. It has nothing to do with the symptoms. It has nothing to do with what the x-ray shows. It has nothing to do with, you know, what the lab report, you know, says. It has nothing to do with any of that. You're either saved or you're not. You're either married or you're not. You're either healed or you're not. And you, that's just one of those things you have to settle in your life, that you are healed. And that actually comes before a better lab report. That comes before you see an x-ray that looks healthy and normal. That comes before the growth falls off the side of your head or whatever else is going on. Realizing the truth that you're healed. Realizing the truth that you're saved. That comes first. All right, so that's a really important thing for you to understand. And let's look over at a verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is the New Testament version, looking back at what Isaiah said. Somewhere in my Bible I have a 1 Peter. There he is. Faith is not believing, and the way we receive from God, everything we receive from Him is by faith. And faith is not believing that you're going to be healed. That's hope. I hope I will be healed. I'm going to be healed. That's hope. But it's not faith. Faith is believing that you are healed. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it's describing what Jesus, in verse 21, tells us what this is what Jesus suffered for us. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. This is all speaking about Jesus. Verse 24, who himself, my Bible is a capital H, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So we know we're talking about Jesus dying on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And then he throws in there and brings in here the same thought that Isaiah had when he was talking about what happened for us in the redemption. But by whose stripes you were healed. So we were healed. Our physical healing comes as a result of what Jesus did for us at Calvary, just like our spiritual rebirth comes as a result of what he did for us at Calvary. So there we go. There we see it there. All right, now, that's one thing I want to settle, is that you are healed, whether you feel like it or not. You're healed because it's something Jesus accomplished for you, and it's an established fact, whether you feel like it or not, just like salvation. Once you receive it, it's yours, and it belongs to you, and it's not something that comes and goes based on how you're feeling. So that's the one thing. Now, the other thing, which may be the most important part of you receiving healing. See how I told you I was just jumping into something and I wasn't starting at the beginning? So I hope you're with me tonight. But here is what I think could possibly be the least understood part of receiving healing from God. And it is this. You must act like you're healed before you perceive any healing. Before you perceive the symptoms are gone. You have to act like you've received before you see any difference. And I'm going to show you several places in the Bible, but this is a principle we see throughout the Bible, because this is what faith looks like. This is what faith, this is it. This is the deal. And it started with the father of our faith. The Bible tells us about the father of our faith, a man named Abraham. And Abraham had to act like, it tells us in Romans 4, that he acted like, and he counted on God's promises being true. Like he was fully persuaded that God had done what he said he would do before he ever saw anything. That's what faith is. It's counting it as done before you see anything. It's knowing the reality of what God has done before anything ever shows up that you can perceive with your natural senses. And this is where people fail to receive from God in just about every area, but certainly in healing is this one thing. Now, you have to act your faith. What does that look like? Well, it looks like this. The first way that you know, well, let me just say this. Kimberly's not here tonight. Kimberly and David Walden got married in November. And I'll just use the whole marriage analogy. Kimberly, before she got married, she talked a lot about getting married. You'd go up to her and she'd show you her ring and she'd talk to you about the wedding and what was going to happen. But now when you go up and you talk to Kimberly, do you know what Kimberly talks about? How she is married. And she, you know, her everything, and you can understand she's in her, I won't tell you how old she is, but she's older than 40 and she's never been married. So really, it's an extra big deal. Jason, if you make it to, you know, this age, we'll make it an extra big deal for you, buddy. If you can make it to 40 being a bachelor, we'll have a party for you, buddy. But anyway, it's an extra big deal. Never been married. Here she is in her 40s. I mean, and I'm telling you, her wedding day was a wonderful day. I don't know if I've ever seen a happier bride. And he was pretty happy too. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't just one-sided. But when I speak to her and when I talk to her, she's not talking about how she's going to be married. And she's not acting like she's going to be married. You know what? She has the audacity to act like she's married. And so that one of the big things about it is she talks about marriage as if it's something that's hers, that belongs to her. She's got a husband. She says, my husband. Her mouth, you're around her. It doesn't take you when you're around her very long to figure out this woman's married. Now, there were a lot of years I knew Kim, and she wasn't married, and you would know it if you talked to her because of the things that she said. There were certain things she said. So she acted like a woman who wasn't married, but now she's acting like a woman who is married. And there's certain things that are different than they were before because she's married. Well, in the same way, if you're healed, you will act different than you will. There'll be different actions, and there'll be different words, and our words are part of our actions. There'll be different words and different actions from somebody who's healed than from somebody who's not healed. Let's just think about it. I'm going to give you some actions or some words, and you tell me, is this person healed or not? Oh my God, I feel so awful. I'm so, so sick. Is that somebody who is? Okay. Well, I've been in bed 4 days. I can't get out of the bed. Is that somebody that's healed or sick? It's somebody who's acting sick, isn't it? They may be healed, but they're not acting healed, then they're not receiving healing because they're acting sick. Now, you see somebody that's, you know, and they tell you, thank God I'm healed. And you may look at them and you're thinking, boy, you look terrible. And they're saying, thank God I'm healed. And maybe they're saying it with a really hoarse voice. Do you see that somebody who's acting? Do you understand? There's a difference. Okay, so we'll just move along from there. You act as if you're healed. And one of the ways is you no longer refer to yourself as being sick and just rehearsing that. You give thanks. You refer to yourself as being healed. You are thanking God for your healing. Now, let's just dive in. Look at Mark chapter 2. And let's see how important it is to act. We see a couple of things here in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 2. In verse 1, and again, this is Jesus, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. This is when the situation was so many people come in the house to hear him preach. And it says, and he preached the word to them. Verse 3, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. So this is a man who's a paralytic, and he's having to be carried in. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, what did Jesus see? How did he see their faith? He saw their actions. That's what he saw. Their faith, you don't see, faith is not like something that's like, oh, there's faith sitting here on the steps. It's nothing you can see. The only thing he could see was their actions. And you can see faith. Have you ever heard this? Actions speak louder than words. You know, you can see a man's love for his wife. You can hear him say he loves his wife. But you don't have to hear if he loves his wife. If you hang around him, you can tell if he loves his wife by his actions, because his actions speak louder than his words. Do you know when it comes to healing, your actions speak louder than your words? And that's what was going on here. Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? He saw their actions. He didn't hear anything. He saw something. He saw what they were doing. And he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And I can't ever read that in a son, your sins are forgiven you kind of way. In my mind, when he says this, he's standing back and he's looking at him and he's got his eyes are big and he's like, son, your sins are forgiven you. Like, boy, what are y'all doing? Here are some people here that are just about lost it. They are coming through the roof. This is some faith I'm seeing here. Who, except a person who was convinced would allow, who's a paralytic, would allow his friends to take him on a roof and lower him down? I mean, come on. And he's going, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? So all this I won't talk about because this is a whole nother subject. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, now look, what did he say? I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Now, if this paralytic man had been like most Christians today, the moment that Jesus said to him, arise, take up your bed and go to your house, the response would be, I can't. I can't walk. What do you mean, arise? I can't arise. I can't get up. Can't you see, Jesus, that I'm paralyzed? Do you see? Isn't that how most people would respond to such a command? But this guy didn't respond to the command of Jesus in that way. He responded in a whole different way. He responded by immediately he arose. This man did something. This man acted. Now, how can you do what you can't do? Because he was a paralytic. And he was a paralytic. And I'm going to tell you this. He would still be a paralytic had he lived these 2,000 years. He would still be a paralytic, probably, if he had not done what Jesus told him to do. If he had not arose. Now, he's laying there as a paralyzed man, and he can't move. But what happened, this is just the short version of what happened. When Jesus said, arise, the man who could not arise, on the inside of him began to arise. And so it started on the inside, and he just began to pull on the inside where, you know, the only place you can, your decider place. Where he decided, he starts to get up on the inside, and somewhere in there, the power of God hit his body, and his body got up with him. But he started to get up. He started to act. He got up. He arose. It wasn't just that God, see, we tend to think of it like this, that God in his great sovereign power, he reached down from heaven to earth, and he picked this man up and set him aright. And that it was some huge act of God. In that sense, that there was some mysterious heavenly force that picked the man up and set him aright. But that isn't what happened. The man, and it's interesting how the Bible says the man, he arose. So as he started to get up, there was a force. There was a power that came on the scene. But it was unleashed as he got up. And you know, how many Wednesday nights have I stood right here and told you story after story from the Bible, and we've discussed case after case of people who got up and did something, and the power of God came on them as they got up, as they moved, as they went, the lepers, as they went. You know, it was just again and again, this guy gets up. There's something unleashed as you get up. Just like you can believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, but the Bible says that salvation comes when you open your mouth. And do something. There's an action on your part. And this acting in faith is so critical to receiving from God. It is the thing that people miss. They fall short of it. They believe, they hear, they understand healing belongs to them, but they fall short of the action. And really what they're saying, what we're saying when we do that is, we're waiting on you, God. And most Christians who even believe in healing are waiting on God to heal them. They're waiting on something to happen. And see, that's how this guy was. People lowered him down in there. Well, we won't read about him, but I'm not going to take time. But y'all remember there was a guy by the pool, Bethesda, and he was literally waiting, had been waiting for years and years for somebody to pick him up and put him in this water that would get stirred up and healing would be in this water. And he's telling Jesus, I don't have a man to put me in the water, so I'm guessing I'm just going to lay here. And Jesus said to him, you get up. You arose. And when he did something, look what happened. He was healed. And that's where a lot of people are. They're sitting there, I believe I'm going to be healed. That's like saying, I believe I'm going to be saved. Why don't you go ahead and step across the line, make that decision. Okay, I received my healing. All right, now I'm healed. Now I need to act like I'm healed. What can I do to act like I'm healed? And that's the question you should always be asking yourself. Whenever you need God's healing power to manifest in your body, you need to be asking yourself, what can I do to act like I'm healed? We use this term, put your faith in motion. What can I do to get in motion? What can I do to act? Well, I think I'll go to bed. Well, I'm going to tell you, if it's 2:30 in the afternoon and you didn't work the third shift, you probably shouldn't be doing that. Do you understand? What can I do to act like I'm healed? Now, and let's just be honest. How many here, you have some idea of what I'm talking about? You've heard some similar message like this. And there have been times when something came and you thought, I need to act like I'm healed, but you didn't. Am I the only person ever did that? And all of you, I'm just reminding you. And some of you, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this. But let me ask this. And we don't have time to take testimonies. Is there anybody here that sickness or disease came, whatever it was? Maybe it was something big, maybe it was something little. But you said, no, I'm the healed and I'm going to act like it. And you stepped out and started acting healed and you saw God's healing power meet you. Well, look at that. Maybe we're onto something. We are, if you read the Bible. All right, that was Mark 2. How about Mark 1? Just go back a few verses. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. Now, as soon as they'd come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her at once. So he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her and she served them. Something happened when she acted, when she moved. There was something that happened. Now, again, we could think that Jesus was this big, strong, you know, God. And he, you know, just as he reached in to touch her, that he just somehow another, you know, jerked her. I don't know what people think, but this is what happened. He said, and she got up with him like Matt's getting up with me. And I found if you start pulling people up, they'll get up with you. But it, somehow another, he's pull and she immediately the fever left her. And so often with you, as well as somebody you're ministering to, just getting somebody to move physically will be a good start towards something. How many times have you seen when we minister to people, we get them to do something you couldn't do. And even if there's nothing that they can perceive. I was ministering to somebody that had a headache. I mean, what are you going to do with somebody with a headache? You know, their head's hurting. What do? You hit, what are you going to do? So I was telling them, breathe deeply. Just anything to start acting, move, you know, open your eyes wider to let more light in. Something, whatever, you know, something. Let me yell in your ear something that would be annoying to you if you had a headache. It's something that will enable you to act. Get up, do something. And so, but anyway, we see it here. Now, over in Acts chapter 3, there's the case. I'll just tell you about it. Peter and John went up to they were going up to the temple, and there was a man there at the gate called Beautiful. And as they went up, the guy looked on him. He was expecting something from him. And Peter says to him, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we do have, we give thee. And the Bible says Peter lifted him up. And that same way, he reached down and grabbed his hand, and he pulled a tug on him. And as he did, the guy got up. And then look over in Acts chapter 9. Peter did it again. So Peter had seen Jesus do this to his mother-in-law, and I think he learned something that day. Acts chapter 9. And because you see this in the ministry of Peter. As Peter went around, he did the same thing to people. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. He just gave the guy the command. He just challenged him. And a lot of times you find people, and we are in that case a lot of times. A lot of us understand that healing belongs to us. We understand that we're the healed. We just need that spark. We just need something to activate our faith. We just need something to release God's power in a tangible way to manifest. And what is it? It's our actions. As we act in faith, we'll see it. As we move out in faith. Now, I'll give you an example of this in a whole different area. Maybe this will help you. But this was just fresh on my mind. Last year, Tori Ivey was talking about going to Oral Roberts University, ORU. It's out in Tulsa, University Matt and I went to. And so I was encouraging him in that. Well, now, you don't all know Tori maybe as well as I do. But Tori is from a really rough place. He's from where he lives. It's not a place you'd want to live, and you wouldn't want to take your kids down there to live. And there's just some really tough stuff that happens over there. And he's from a family. They don't have means. He doesn't know anybody has means. He told me the other day, if I had not met Mr. Neal and gotten saved and come to Good News Church, I would, without a doubt, be dead or in jail today. That's the deal. That's just what everybody does where I'm from. I'd be dead or I'd be in jail. That's the deal. And so, this is the kind of background he has. Well, Tori tells me he wants to go to Oral Roberts University. Well, that's great, except Oral Roberts University is a private university in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Tori had never been out of the state of Georgia until not that long ago. I mean, Tori hadn't been, you know, outside of a 50-mile radius from where he lived until he was an adult. So, you know, and now he's going to go all the way across, you know, halfway across the country and live somewhere with nobody he knows, nobody's ever met. And it's going to cost him $30,000+ to do this. And he doesn't have any money. And he has plenty of needs besides. So it seems to me, you know, like you want to sing him the song. Well, you know, I like dreaming, you know, because this is what it sounds like. You know what I mean? There was not a lot of hope here. Well, so, but you know what? I understand some things. And one thing I understand is not only is Jesus provided healing for us, he has provided provision for our material needs. And Tori knows about that. And so, of course, I encourage Tori along these lines. And, you know, well, Tori, let's just believe God here. Let's believe God. Well, Tori's like, I don't know how I can afford it. I don't know. You know, he was really kind of sweating it and he'd waver, you know, whenever you'd see me, he'd be, I'm going and then I'm not going. Well, then one day, finally said, Tori, you got to settle this thing. You're driving me nuts. Either you're in or you're out. Okay. And the next time I see him, he's got it settled. I'm going. Still doesn't have a dime, doesn't have a way to go. I'm going. Well, along this same time, I knew another young man. He's not part of our church, not in Good News Church, but he's somebody else I know here in this area. And he knew Matt and I are graduates of Oral Roberts University. And so he was talking to us about ORU because he wanted to go to ORU too. Now, this guy isn't in nearly the place or condition that Tori's in. He has more means. He has more connections. You know, he has a lot more going for him. Has, you know, actual guidance counselors at his school that could help him and stuff like that. So anyway, so this young man talks about going, and I said to him the same things I said to Tori. Probably even gave him a little more encouragement and wrote it out for him. Wrote him a long email and said, here's what you should do and believe God, trust God. You know, and I gave him some of the testimonies of Pastor Matt of how God provided and in our family, how he's provided education. And so I'm just pumping him up and everything like that. And I didn't hear from him. No, that's okay. I didn't see it. You know, didn't run into him. I kept running into Tori here at church. So I'd keep prodding him. Well, it came time, you know, next thing I know, Tori's decided he's going to go. And he starts acting like he's going to go. He applies and he gets accepted. And that was, you know, that was crazy. If you knew what all he did, that was God. But anyway, then his steps, the next thing I know, he's telling all y'all he's going. And different people are helping him out. Somebody here at the church bought him a computer. And somebody else said, I'll send you money every month. I mean, things started happening. He's just walking around acting like he's going to ORU. You see him and say, what day you leaving, Tori? And he'd tell you what day he's leaving, you know. And he's getting everything. He gets his job lined up. He gets everything lined up to go. Still doesn't have the money to go. But he's telling everybody he's going. You know, kissing, hugging everybody goodbye, whatever. He's going, you know. And then somebody worked it out and got him a car. And so now he's got a car to go in. Hallelujah. So he's, you know, getting his car all ready. Got to get his car ready. Got to, you know, he's got to get some clothes. He's, you know, he's doing everything. Like I went out and bought him a comforter and pillow and the whole bed set thing because I knew he would need that. Brought it over to him. People, and everybody's doing stuff for him, doing all these things, bringing to him, giving him money, all kind of stuff, trying to help him. He still doesn't have the money. Doesn't know. Well, like 2 days before he's supposed to go, this huge miracle. God provided for him $9,000. Bam. He's in the car. He's gone. Praise God. And I just thought, man, Tori, all the people that talk about going, and Tori, who has no natural reason to go to ORU, is out there. It's unbelievable. He's doing it. He's living the dream that I was going to sing. I like dreaming. Yeah. And so there he is. Meanwhile, over the Christmas break, I run into this other kid from last year. I said, well, what happened? You know, obviously you didn't go to ORU. I mean, I had done that, but so what's going? You didn't go to ORU, getting ready to go. Oh, I would just love to go. It would be the greatest thing. I just really feel God wants me to go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, you going to go? No, I'm not going to go. I'm like, well, you can go. You know, you just need to have faith. Here's what you need to do. Here. And I'm telling him Tori's story. And he's just looking at me. And he's like, you can just see it in his face. Man, I wish that would happen for me. But there's no steps. There's no movement. It's, if God makes it happen, I'll do it. Well, now here's something you don't know. This is why it's fresh. So the last week of Tori's break, he was staying at our place, and so Tori comes in one evening, I can't remember, he comes in, I guess it's Friday or Saturday night, and I know he's supposed to leave Sunday morning. He comes in, and he's getting his stuff, he's left He's probably got stuff left at any of you. If he's even been by your house, he leaves his stuff there. And so he's trying to gather up, and we're getting all his stuff back together for him and putting him in the car and hugging him goodbye. And he's standing in the kitchen, and Tori says, and I'd been dealing with him about some things the last several days, and he tells me, well, I got the word today. None of it's working out. They call it being validated. I don't know what they call it where you go to school, but it's you have to be validated to get into school. But because of the financial aid and all the stuff, and it all fell through, and this big thing that was working out for him, and it all was denied, and he has no money, and he's not validated, and he isn't going to go into school. You know, he's not going to get in. And I'm seeing he's standing there in the kitchen, and it's like, school's classes start on Monday. It's Saturday. He's got a 15-hour drive back. And he's not going to be, they're not going to let him in classes because he doesn't have the money and he doesn't have the aid and he can't get the aid. They've told him it's all turned down, everything. So there he is, and he's standing in my kitchen. And then he says to me, he says, but I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go out there. And he says to me, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to go out there. He says, I figure I can hang out there at least 2 weeks before they have to make me leave if it don't work out. But I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to just stay here. That's where I'm supposed to be. And I don't know how it's going to happen. And then he does, you know, his Tory laugh and woo and all that he does. And he says, I'm just going to see what God does. And he gets in the car. And he drives, he leaves at 1 a.m. by himself, and he drives straight through all the way. It's 1,000 miles. Which I'd tell you a really funny story if I had time, but I won't. I'll tell you later. But anyway, he gets there, and so gets there Sunday evening. I don't hear from him. I get a text yesterday. Pastor Susie, do you have a minute to talk? Well, I was in the middle of something. I never was able to talk to him. So this morning I remembered I didn't check with him. Tori, you okay? I text him. He's like, yeah, I'm doing great. And you know, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's living in his car. I don't know what's going on. And he said, I got validated. I'm in school. Everything's taken care of. And then he explained to me how it all worked out. And a whole nother big issue he had was his situation with his car, and that whole thing worked out. And he's in class. He said, I gotta go. Class starts at 1:50. Bye. Isn't that awesome? And here is that's wonderful. But here's the other kid waiting for something to happen. And so that's the whole deal tonight is, what can you do? And I'm talking about healing tonight. What can you do to get in motion as far as healing? What can you do? What you got to do something you couldn't do. What is it? I don't know. Some things are kind of, you know, they're a little harder to act on than other things. But what can you do? If nothing else, you can shut up all your discussion about your aches and pains. How about that? And you can start saying, I feel good. That's right. See, James Brown, who was the hardest working man in show business, he's the guy that said that all the time. That's why he was able to work so hard. Because how many times do you think he said, I feel good? Think about it. And he did feel good. I saw him one night get saved right in front of me. I was standing behind him in a meeting, and he received Jesus and was crying, and he felt real good that night. But what can you do? And it might be another area again tonight. It may not specifically be healing. One day it's going to be, because things come against these bodies. One day it's going to be, but it may not be that. It may be something else. What can you do to get in motion? And if nothing else, you can open your mouth. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, I could tell you story after story after story of times in my life where this is what I did and I received. I could tell you great stories. If you specifically need healing in your body, one of the things I recommend to you is you get Dodi Osteen's book. I don't know if we have any of them in the Resource Center. I think we do back in the Resource Center. It's not a very big book. It's a small book. And that's Joel Osteen. This is when she was actually a lot more famous as Dodi Osteen before Joel Osteen was ever famous. It used to be John and Dodi, and then anyway, Dodi was, she was given a death sentence, stage 4, metastatic cancer of the liver. It had spread all over her body, and she was a goner, and they just gave her just a short time to live. Now, what do you do when you get that? Well, you go home and you get in the bed and you pull the cover over your head and you're a goner. I mean, that's what you do. They don't have any hope for you. But you know what Dodie said? Dodie said, I'm the healed. I can't get in the bed and pull the cover over my bed. So she got up every morning and made breakfast for her family and put them off to school. She continued to live her life the way somebody would live if they were well. And it took every ounce of everything she had and a whole lot more to do it. And I've heard her tell the story that there were times she was doing something for one of her kids. And they knew the pain she was in, and they knew how exhausted she was, and they knew, and they would so much, they would be like, they would want to do it. No, no, I couldn't possibly let you do this for me, Mom. But they knew she had to do it to act her faith. And she said she saw her kids, they would turn their heads and just cry and weep while she was, you know, making something for them or taking care of them like a mother would her child. But they knew the pain and the trouble and the exhaustion she was dealing with, and but they still let her do it because they knew her life depended on it. That if she got in the bed, she'd never get out of the bed alive. That they had to let her do it. And how old is she now? She's up in her 70s now. This has been years ago. I've heard her testify of it in person. I've read her books. And to see, and that's not the only one. There are many, many cases. If you've never read the, there's a lot of things we could say, but that's it. You got to do what you couldn't do. You got to get up. You got to sit up wherever you are. Maybe it's just, you know, the next step, but you got to do something. It's like Tori just got in the car and he drove. You got to do something. You got to get in motion and to receive your healing. You got to get in motion. You got to start acting like you're healed and talking like you're healed before you're going to ever see it. You are. You got to get up and do something. You cannot wait. I remember dealing with somebody who was very ill, and they were waiting. They kept telling me, I believe God's going to heal me. And I said to him, when is he going to heal you? Well, I don't know. Well, he's already healed you. He has? Yeah, he healed you 2,000 years ago. Well, when am I going to see it? You're going to see it when you start acting like it. But I don't feel like acting like it. Well, then you're a goner. That's so just brutal, but it's true. You're a goner. If you can't get in line with what the Word says, and you can't get in line with how the Word instructs us, and you can't do things according to the way that the Scripture says that they are done, then I'm sorry, but you're going to be sick. It's just like, you know, we could have some kind of electrical device in here tonight, and, you know, it works perfectly. It's just really awesome. It's great. But unless we plug it into the wall, it's not going to work. But I don't want to plug it in. I don't feel like plugging it in. You don't understand. I'm too tired. I'm hurting too bad. I do understand that. We've all had times of pain. Probably maybe not the pain that certain people have at certain times, but I'm telling you, we've all had some pain. Pain isn't fun. And you know, the thing about pain, the enemy uses the pain to get you back in the bed. He uses the pain to bully you. Pain is a bully. It's a bully. But if you'll push against the pain, the bully will back off. If you'll do it in faith, you stand up in faith and say,